Hi, everybody. Welcome to the Goddess Divine podcast. I hope you're doing well today, wherever you're at in the world. It is officially Wednesday here in the United States. And today we are going to be listening to, or you're going to be listening to, a channeled episode of Mother Mary. So while not traditionally categorized as a goddess in many ancient pantheons or any ancient pantheons, Mother Mary does hold a deeply revered place in the hearts of millions of people across the world, including myself. She does embody the ultimate archetype of the Divine Mother. She, for me at least, is the sanctuary of solace and even a reflection of gentle strength and, of course, unconditional compassion and love. So whether you connect with her as a spiritual figure, maybe even as an ascended master for some people, she is a symbol of divine feminine devotion. And maybe if you connect with her as a loving presence in times of need, her energy does transcend dogma and she's willing to meet you exactly where you're at in your life and with the needs that you have. So I hope you find this episode valuable to some degree and there are some useful takeaways. So everybody enjoy the episode and I'll see you on Sunday.
Can we please have the name of the divine spirit that came, that walked in today?
I heard, I did hear, I am here, loved one. I am here, loved one, is what I heard.
Okay.
You can ask again for her to confirm her name and all of that, see if I hear anything.
Okay. Is this Mother Mary who has come to pay a visit to us?
I heard, I am that which you have called.
Hello, Mother Mary. Okay. Thank you for joining us. We have several questions for you. First of all, what do you have? Let me start this over again. What are some of the things that you can teach us women? What are some things that you can share with us?
In regards to what she said, in regards to what exactly?
On how we can help one another.
She just said that lifting each other up is actually her area of specialty. And that is how she helps humanity seek the way or learn the way, is to lift up your fellow man. And okay, I'll end it there. I thought I heard something else, but I'll stop it there.
Okay. What are some of your divine gifts that you can, that you actually do, that you use to help us help the whole?
She's saying that her gift carries the weight of truth. I heard that. But she also wants to emphasize that what she offers is to help people see the way. It's like I keep seeing her like do this. She helps people see the way, to see the light within themselves. It's funny because as she's talking, it's like I see a woman with a veil on her knees praying and I can see the light right there. But her offering is great indeed. I heard that. And she is endowed with many skill sets and she brings the truth within humanity. Her heart is here to help those who seek the light within, to rise up within themselves. It's very interesting. Okay, this is so interesting. So what I'm seeing now, because I feel like the more I'm talking, I can start to see a little bit better. So it's like I see her. I do see her with a Bible, okay? I see her open up the Bible and I see the light. She is a guiding force, is what she just said, for those who are seeking the light within, the calming light within.
What are some of the things that we can do that can help us see the light within?
First thing she said was self-forgiveness is a must. It is a breakthrough for man to see the way or to see the light within him. She said many a man has suffered through heartbreak or broken hearts, but yet they must learn how to recompose themselves. And I see her putting a broken heart, like a shattered heart, back together. And she's saying that the light within helps us do this. It helps us to recreate. She's saying recreate the truth, but the light is a she's using the word sealant, like a bond, like glue, that helps to repair the heart and put all the pieces back together. And her offering is to help you see that way, to help you see the light inside, to repair yourself completely whole.
Okay.
That is her focus. And it's interesting because she also said that is her generative healing light.
Okay. And how would you suggest, can you suggest some ways of us doing that?
She's asking you, you mean self-forgiveness?
No, to see that light, not just self-forgiveness, but to see that light within, for instance, meditating, I'm sure is one way. Are there any other ways that could help us see that light within and to forgive ourselves?
First thing she said was acknowledging the truth of yourself, remembering your true identity will help you to see all the light that is necessary here on your journey. She said many people look outward to confirm their identity by the standards of the world, yet who you are, your true greatness lies within, she's saying, the body armor, I guess, within the self. If you can remember that one singular detail of your true greatness, she said it would even suspend time for you, and it would break through matter, something to that effect. It would break through all the matter here. She said, yes, self-forgiveness is part of the plan, but you must remember your true identity. Of that which you have been given. And she's saying, disregard the body. That is just a shield in this lifetime. All the wisdom that you are endowed with is all you will ever need to remember the self. And she also said to harness the true energy and power of your light. But she just wants to emphasize this again, remember your true identity. Remember that which has been given, and this will help to alleviate some of the pains many of you carry inside. But she said, yes, forgiveness is a part of the plan. And she said, forgiveness 10 times over, because there will always be instances to forgive, whether you are seeking forgiveness or to forgive another for transgressions against the self, time and time again. This is, she said, this is the narrow path because many are afraid to look within, to self-forgive, to review past transgressions against the self, or to look within their very own hearts. Many are afraid to do this.
Some of us have a really hard time forgiving ourselves. What tips could you give to those who do have a very difficult time forgiving themselves?
She's saying that this is a common thing amongst many a man on this earth plane, being able to look inside yourself with a soft heart, to understand that this is a human journey, and that, this is very interesting, your creations here are man-made. They are not truly generated by your own light. They are simply mistakes that you are allowed to make. She said, how else would a spirit grow without the tendency to make mistakes time and time again? They empower you. So she's also saying, yes, you know, adjustments are necessary on the earth plane. You adjust through the mistakes that you make and you improve and then you adjust again. And then there is improvement. It is a cycle of learning and learning to love and value the self through all of the endless mistakes that you will make. But that is, she said, but that is the growth edge. That is how you learn. And she's saying, if you can see things that way, offer yourself a little tender, loving care, then it will help you to forgive your own mistakes and the slights of others.
With that, what tips do you have for those who have a really difficult time forgiving others, especially those who have, they felt really did horrible things to them?
She's saying for those who carry the weight of man's transgressions, their hideous past mistakes, she did say that. It is a difficult journey indeed, and it is a journey of the heart for them. She's saying the answer here is not so simple, because everyone is an individual, and everyone on a daily basis can choose to forgive those who have hurt you. And yes, there are degrees of pain, she's saying, on the inside, but it takes time. And that is the gift of time here. And time is necessary for this purpose and for many others. But I don't think that she's giving me like a straight answer, because it just depends. Like what I'm kind of seeing, Deborah, it's like when there's a past transgression or something really bad happens, it's like it turns into blackness in your heart and it stays there. But when you try to forgive it, it's the attempts of trying to forgive. I start to see the blackness recede just a little, just a little, just a little. That's what she's kind of showing me, but it's a choice.
It's definitely a process. It's not something that can happen overnight.
Right.
What are your thoughts on the state of the world at this time?
She's saying that we are in an evolutionary state right now, and hard things are happening here. And it is hard to, I think she's saying to some of us, it is hard to stand back and witness the pain that others are suffering and enduring on. She's telling me it's not just opposite sides of the planet, but in your very own home state. I just heard that. That people are undergoing duresses and many hardships at this time. And she's saying in order to help alleviate that, it is important that we... She's saying a couple different things. Number one, see the light in others and judge them not so harshly based off of their exterior or even their quick reactions. She said many of these are stemming from the hardships that they are undergoing. Forgiveness, again, is always important when these occur, but helping your fellow man is what moves the needle forward. She's saying we must utilize our internal, not just our internal strength, but our external strength as well to help others grow, but to help lift them up. Because in times like these, what matters most is the kindness that you give. She said, even in very small doses, it has a lot of power behind it. But yes, there are many transgressions occurring across the planet at this time, and it is a difficult stage of humanity throughout its evolution or evolutionary process. But all of this is necessary, and it will continue to occur for some time.
Mother Mary, do you have hope in humanity?
You're so funny. She said she's always had that, and she still has that man will change his very own heart. And once she said, but man must also change his mind about the state of the world. Oh, sorry. She's saying, no, man must change his state of consciousness. There we go. Sorry. She said, this is part of the evolutionary leap that man will make in time.
Okay.
But she wants to emphasize again, yes, the state of the heart is important.
Okay. And Mother Mary, what are your thoughts in the divine feminine?
She's saying that there are various types of divine feminine energy that are allowed to take place here, which is a very interesting way to put it. That are present. She's saying some like yourself, Deanna and Deborah, she said that we are prone to being natural warriors of light, fighters, for those who have been, for lack of a better word, like disenfranchised, for those who need a helping hand. We stand on our own 2 feet. We use our voices and our hands to lift each other up. And she said that in itself is a divine feminine light. There are other types, as you see, others that are more quiet, but they still have their offerings here. It is of a softer, gentler nature. There is tenderness. There is, she's just saying there's just so many various types that are necessary at this time, including herself. Hers is more of a gentler nature. And yes, it is wise indeed, but she offers compassion to those who are seeking the light, who need her help and her comfort. She said all of these eyes or all of these types are visible here to help you and to alleviate your pain as you all are continuing to grow at this time.
Mother Mary, can you share with us how many lives did you have to go through to get to that state of where you're at now?
Many, I heard. I just heard, and it's interesting, I heard her say, I've been through many incarnations of light, or incarnations as a light being, in many other places as well, not just the earth plane. But it is one place I have been to many times.
Wow.
And I heard her say she came here as a light seeker, which is interesting.
Have you partnered with Jesus before in other lives?
I have, I heard. Okay, I heard I have his spirit here with me now.
Hi, Jesus.
I heard, and I heard as a teacher of light.
Mm-hmm. That's phenomenal.
Mm-hmm.
Have you guys shared existence together in other planets? Planes of existence, I should say.
I heard we have partnered elsewhere, indeed. Other incarnations. As two splendid truths standing together to offer those help and equality. I heard fairness and justice.
That's amazing.
Mm-hmm. It's very interesting because I see them side by side and it's like a two trees growing together.
Really?
Mm-hmm.
Aww.
I know.
So not to kind of sidetracked, but if Jesus happens to be there here.
Oh no. That's funny.
What are his thoughts on the divine feminine? Having, you know, Mother Mary as, you know, part of the reincarnation here.
That's a good question. I know, I'm like very nervous. I heard he is spiritually available for all who seek, seek truth, seek the way, seek comfort, seek guidance. Many are calling his name out as we speak to shield them, to protect them from harm, she's saying, to look towards him for light, to forgive themselves, to help them see the way here, and to help them even, I heard, understand themselves. The noise within is too great for some to hear him say his words, to hear his valuable sayings, and his insights that he provides. But if you quiet the mind as you have already been taught, I heard, as you have already been taught, Deborah, then you will hear his wise sayings. He is a teacher to many here, and he is valuable indeed. That's what I heard. I know that didn't answer your question, but that's what I heard.
Okay. And that's okay. That's okay. I have asked Jesus a couple questions, which he had answered me, and I want to ask this question to Mother Mary. It's kind of random, but when you reincarnated here on Earth the last time, what was your favorite thing about Earth?
I heard two things. I heard kindness, the kindness that she has witnessed man giving to each other, but also love indeed. And she also said not just Okay. She said, love has curative properties. Love cures. And many people need to learn that here, that love is the answer to all things. It is not only limited here, and love is not only limited in its capacity to help, but it is transformative, has transformative properties, she said. It can transform the self inside and out. And love is the greatest teacher as well. Yeah. And she said, and when the love within yourself dwindles within, you feel lost. Like humanity feels lost without that light. Mm-hmm. But love is the greatest thing ever. And we are all endowed with, it's in our veins. She said, we're all endowed with it. And it is at the very heart of our species.
I was going to ask, compared to other planes of existence and planets, and how would you compare planet Earth when it comes to how humanity is and how we love compared to other planes of existence and planets?
Well, she wants to say that, remember, other planets have different types of species.
Right.
So it is not necessarily human in a sense. And the evolutionary stages are similar, but different. The rules that are here may not apply elsewhere. So it depends.
Oh.
And she wants to say, as an example, on the Earth plane, you have a lot of free will, right? But, and that's an advantage here for you for learning, even though it also offers its many challenges, spiritually. But she said, and elsewhere, we are not so free. That presents its own set of challenges, and it allows for a different type of evolution.
Oh, wow.
Mm-hmm.
Hmm. Makes you think about where you want to reincarnate, Deanna.
I know. Nowhere ever again. Done. I know.
Many have, how can I put this? Have sought your help, Mother Mary, in not only healing themselves, but healing others. How can I put this? How do they do that? How are they able to use you, or how do you help them heal others? I hope I said that clearly.
She's saying that it all, okay, there is no simple answer here, because we must look at things on a case by case basis. You know, she's saying you have to remember, that the soul, that ailments are the soul's teachers.
Mm-hmm.
And some of us have chosen specific ailments for our learning here. Therefore, what can be applied to one person to heal them may not be applicable to another. So it does depend. It is the soul's journey. It is what they have asked to learn through that process, if that is helpful.
Okay. So if it is within their story, to seek help from you for healing purposes, do you help them?
She said, her light always gives help. That is neither here nor there, but the purpose of healing itself and what the healing looks like is dependent on the man or the person, if that makes sense.
It does. I think from my understanding, when it comes to healing, obviously we can heal ourselves and other healers. From my understanding.
She's asking me, she's using my words. She said, are you talking about Jesus level healing?
Yeah. Well, yeah. Well, let's talk about that.
Like miraculous healing. Is that what you are asking?
Yes and no. Yes and no. But yeah, let's dive into that. So I know people have to be at a certain caliber to be there, but my understanding of healing is that the healer allows the person who wants to be healed feel that vibration or frequency of healing so that they can heal themselves. Am I correct?
She's asking you, are you saying that the healer is externally, like Jesus, externally, miraculously healing the individual and like holistically. Is that what you're saying?
No.
Okay, what are you saying?
Sometimes being human, you don't know how to heal yourself. And so someone comes in and can help you experience what that feels like, teaches you so that you yourselves can then heal yourself. But it's like you have to match that vibration of healing.
Mm-hmm.
And that person can help. I don't know how I can say this.
She's asking you, are you asking if there are wisdom teachers that can help you like learn to do this individually?
Right.
She said, on this earth plane, there are many endowed with this skill set who can help you learn the way or the pathway and the knowledge of frequency healing is what I heard.
Okay.
That's interesting. I'm like, girl, teach, because some of us need to learn.
Yeah, I mean, I think that's what I was asking, is I always felt from what I was reading, the healer is not the one that heals the person, but helps that person heal themselves.
Did you want to ask her about the Jesus miracle healings?
Yeah, like how, let's talk about the Jesus miracle healing. Like how does he have that, you know, he can do that, or yeah, how does he do it?
She said, are you asking if past healings were miraculous?
No. How does he do miracle healing?
Okay. Sorry. She said the power inside him helped him achieve that state of awareness or consciousness. First word, she said awareness, and then she said consciousness. Therefore his ability lied within himself. And there was no mask between him and the Holy Spirit. I heard that very clearly.
How can one get to that state?
She's saying it is surrendering to the power of the one itself, the one being inside yourself. And acknowledging that which is within you as the frequency and the state of all creation. She's saying there is no deniability there. It is a state of consciousness that you are endowed with, but it is a frequency you must, she said achieve. I don't know if she means that word, but she said it is a frequency. Yes, that is within the self. It is, but she's saying that many of us have achieved that level of awareness here. It's
that
just
could happen. Really?
But she said it's just that the stories have not all been told.
So we all have the potential to reach that Jesus consciousness healing.
She said, "Why not?"
Mic drop.
You're so funny. Yeah.
Go ahead.
But no, she's just saying all is allowed within your being. It is magnificent. And you are more skilled than you let on, is what I heard.
I agree. Okay.
Mm-hmm. Yes. But she's saying this level can be achieved. It is a wisdom level, she said, guided by the true light itself. It is a power within you that is harnessed in the right way towards healing others, seeing the true light within them. She said, that is how you heal the heart itself. It is acknowledging the light within. And it is a frequency you must hold on a consistent basis. There is no fluctuation within that. And she said, that is what Jesus level healing contains. It is the lack of that fluctuation.
Ooh, mm-hmm. That takes practice.
It does. It does. I'm saying yes. I imagine it does, Jesus.
Is that something, though, that I know all of us can achieve this, but this can be achieved within one lifetime.
Let me ask her to repeat what she said. I thought I heard it. I just was like, wait a minute, what? I heard it can be. Okay, first she said solidly, and then yes, it can be achieved. She's saying it all of that energy is contained within the heart space itself, and it maximizes itself with the love that you give outwardly to others. And that love has the capacity to change everything, to change people, to transform lives. We all have it. It is not, it's not denied to anybody here. It is just that we lack the faith of ourselves, and we lack the faith of the one keeper within. We have forgotten ourselves time and time again. Henceforth is what I heard. But we all have that immaculate state within our own very selves, and that allows us to heal and transform others, but heal ourselves importantly. She's asking me, what is being denied unto you?
Nothing.
Yeah, she said there is nothing here that is being denied, but you allow this to be, and you maximize that state, and therefore your very consciousness acknowledges that state of awareness, and that is what you tend to embody. But you see, she's saying with, I don't know if she's making fun of me, but she's saying, you know, with that Jesus level healing that does not exist within. There is no memory of loss or pain. It is solidly an elevated consciousness of love, an awareness of that. Without transgression, it is a solid state of being, a champion state is what I heard, connected to the all itself within you. You must maintain that level at all costs. That's what she said.
Okay. And I know, you know, Jesus did that, but being human here on earth, when he was in that state of consciousness, did he ever have a bad day? Or was it constant?
She said, one always does. Of course. Yes.
Yeah. Well, that's good to know, because it's like you might tell that to somebody and somebody may think, oh, I can never have a bad day. I can never say a curse word. But you're having a human experience. So if Jesus had that human experience and still was able to have that conscious level, it's reassuring, you know, that you can do it.
Exactly right. Seeing what she says. She said, yes, many a days were like that. There were painful instances as well, she said, as you are likely aware, as you have read about or of which has been written. Many painful instances indeed, I heard. But he elevated himself to a consciousness that is not on this earth plane, that is akin to light itself. And that is, and she's saying, and that is the, I just want to make sure I got the word right, difference or, and that, yes, that is the difference between, and that's what differentiates himself between how man is today in his mind or his consciousness and, you know, and the state that he embodied inside and out.
And did Jesus allow himself to experience anger, frustration, deep sadness, you know?
She actually said with purpose he did.
Okay. So yeah. Anybody can do it.
I'm sorry, what did you say?
No, I was just saying, so anybody can do it. I mean, you can get to that conscious and still have a bad day. But it's, I understand what Mary's saying. I'm just being clear that we all can do it.
And she's saying that many of you have bad days here and ahead for your life. But remember that one tiny detail, that even within the bad day, the light exists within you. And you choose to either listen to the knowledge of your heart, she's saying, or the wisdom of your heart, or you may listen to the ego mind that doubts everything, that keeps you in that state of pain, You acknowledge one or the other, or you fluctuate between the two. She said that is what most humans do here. They fluctuate and they are uncertain. But she's saying that Jesus, again, did not have that fluctuation. He knew the Father within him.
He didn't have the fluctuation, but he still had experiences though, right? But he allowed himself to go with the flow, so he didn't have restriction. Resistance.
She wants to say it wasn't so much as flow. She's saying the energy needed here, the energy that he needed at times fueled him, and that energy was anger. Anger about how the people were being treated, how he would see people that were malnourished. I just heard that. People who were struggling. And then what I heard is that he would look at the hierarchy in, for lack of a better word, church. She would see, not she, he would see these priests in their fine clothing, preaching the so-called word of God, yet here are beggars on the street begging for a piece of food or bread. And that did not sit right within his own heart. And that is what fueled him to be outspoken and do, quote unquote, the right thing, at least according to his, the own state of his heart. You must use these, and I'm just speaking what she's saying, you must use these situations to fuel yourself to be better human beings, to be kinder, more gentler beings, and to help each other. And she was like, that's, you know, that's why we have bad days. They teach us. And they are fuels to have better hearts.
Got it. I understand.
She said they are teachers too. The bad days are the best teachers.
Yeah. One question that I'd asked Jesus is I asked him who were his teachers, and the answer he said was everyone.
Oh, you asked him?
Yeah, I asked Jesus, like, who was his teachers, and he said everyone.
I love that. I love that. And she's saying all beings that are here on Earth, they are valuable. They're all contributing to the whole.
Yeah.
Even if part of that whole is darkness, she said.
Okay.
Everybody is playing their part accordingly for the upliftment of man. And I just heard her say, even the deceased are helping you.
Yeah, your ancestors, your past on loved ones, and
yes, and she's saying they cater to you daily. The deceased spirits who would like to help lift man forward or push man forward and dedicate themselves and their time and their energy to this quest.
What are some of the things that we can look out for when it is, you know, the deceased ones helping us? Like, are there any specific signs? Is it just tailored towards the individual?
She's saying they whisper in your ear. Sometimes when that thought pops into your head out of nowhere, it is an ancestor speaking, this is the way, take this step, trying to soften our hearts, to be more compassionate beings, because that is the type of gentle light that they offer here. Some of them are more powerful than others, and they work with... And they are diligent workers, I heard. And they work with politicians to help soften their hearts. And those who are greedy in spirit to help them evolve to a better state of compassion, I heard. That's pretty interesting.
There is. Mother Mary, would you know, are there any future human beings visiting us right now at this time to help the whole?
Wait, did you say alien beings or what did you say?
No, future human beings.
Oh,
okay. Back to this time to help the consciousness.
What do you mean? I don't know if I understand the question.
Are they traveling back to time to help this point of time?
Like in legit time travel?
Yeah.
Oh, that's interesting. well, like what? She said, you must remember that every being of light is playing their part here, and all beings that are here today are necessary for the plan. She's saying this concept of time travel is a tricky one to discuss, given that indeed time does not exist, as you are fully aware. in your state of mind, she said. All beings of light, again, she's repeating herself, that are necessary for this quest, for this evolutionary stage, are on the planet today.
Okay.
Yeah.
I'll just take that as a yes.
Okay, well, I'm going to thank them for helping and...
Yes, thank you. Thank you.
Both will be talking soon, I'm sure.